I hope you folks can see this screen.
Lower the lights?
Yeah, that'd be great.
With the lights, please. La lumière. Bruce.
I'll start, I guess. I'm going to try to be brief with my presentation. I don't need to spend a lot of time on it. I'm Lonnie Hicks, the Chief Financial Officer here at Pacifica. And what I'm going to do is, rather than go over the reports which the board members have, and I know that some of the listeners, of course, don't, so I'll try to summarize early in this presentation for the benefit of the listeners. But then I want to spend time on budget priorities, some of the ideas that we have been discussing, some of the proposals that you have heard over the last couple of days. What I want to do is, given all the pressing needs that we obviously have and all the opportunities that those needs represent, try to give the board an idea of what it will cost us and how we would manage to finance many of the projects that we have been discussing. But first I'm going to do a quick summary of where we stand as of May 2006. And I'm just going to do a quick summary here. One figure needs to be updated, and that would be the figure for WBAI, but we can take that into consideration. Basically, you see that we had a budget of 919,605, and my projection to June 30th is that we would come in at $1.1 million, or $260,000 over projection. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's too bad. Too bad we don't have a pointer or something like that. Let me see if I can enlarge it. Let's see what we got here. Is that better? All right. Well, on the total column at the total row at the bottom, our budget was for $919,000. And on projection, that is to say, projecting current trends and taking into consideration the May drive, it will be $1,179,000, that is to say $260,000 over budget. Now, the caveat with that is that that's a misleading figure, $260,000. Why is it misleading? Because $450,000 of it is not cash. That is to say, it was gifts that, we haven't received, and when they do come, they're restricted, and the cash won't be available to us at September 30th. So we have to take the $260,000 and take away the non-cash gifts, and you can see that the number would be different, and our cash position at the end, at September 30th, would be considerably less. And it would be closer to that 919 figure rather than the 1.1. The contrast with April would be 162 against the 260. But we're pretty much in this network break even in terms of a forecast of September 30th. Now, what does it mean to be break even? Well, it's not the best position to be in, because you do need cash at the end of the fiscal, if nothing more than to pay what the October bills. But be that as it may, I'm grateful we got to that point, because it's been a tough year. This May drive, as many of you know, has been difficult. And revenue in the network, revenue in community radio as a whole, has been flat for the past 3 years. And right now I have no basis for predicting that that trend won't continue. That we are looking in the community radio and at Pacifica at flat revenue. Now, flat revenue, what does that mean? The revenue is not going up. But right now we're seeing some indications that it's going down against our budgets. So that means next year we may not even be able to budget as much revenue as we have this year, unless we make course-specific plans to increase the revenue. Now, why is flat revenue? It's okay, but it's not great. Why is it not great? It's not great because expenses, even while revenue is flat, expenses are not flat. They go up at Pacifica every year, $500,000-$600,000. What is that? That's going to be insurance. That's going to be salaries, union contracts. It's going to be the cost of the projects. the cost of the projects that we have been discussing will be added expense and opportunity, of course. So while revenues are flat, it's not good. We have to look at increasing revenues to cover the additional expenses that we are contemplating. Let's go right to those additional expenses. Right now, we've been discussing budget priorities currently under consideration. What I have here is the incremental costs. That is to say, these are the additional expenses we will be looking at as we contemplate these budget priorities. Of course, we've got 2 or 3 months. Some of them we'll be able to afford, some of them will not. I thought we would like to see sort of where we would be in contemplating those incremental costs. First item is the CPB funding. For those who don't know, CPB, Corporation for Public Broadcasting, has reduced our allotment for next fiscal, beginning October 1st, 2006, by $219,000. It impacts each station differently. And I'll just show you the impact is on each station. It's in my CFO report. KPFA, the impact would be the $49,000 here. For KPFK, it would mean a reduction of $9,102. WPFW, a reduction in revenue from CPB, $29,003. For WBI, $105,000. And KPFT, $26,000. That's a total of the 219. Now, every station wants to know why. So, and the reasons why are complicated, and I can go into it if someone wants to give a question, but let me not answer it right now. Just suffice it to say that CPB has some arcane formulas, in my view, that they've used to come up to these numbers, but let's not go into it right now. The number is firm. Do we have a chance to appeal? Will the number change? I'm told no. This is the number that we, in fact, will have to reduce revenues by in October for next fiscal. Let's go down to these budgeted priorities. CPB funding, down. Oh, thank you. That's great. I can point like that. Okay. Let's see if it works. Okay. CPB funding down $219,000. We also would have to add to the incremental cost whatever negotiation we may come to with Free Speech Radio News. What's that number going to be? We do not know at this point. National programming. We have been discussing national programming. Issue. How much will it cost? And right now I have a conservative figure of $75,000. But it well might be more. Hopefully less. We've been discussing, we have national elections that are, of course, underway already, but a good deal of that expense will occur after October 1st. Traditionally, those elections have cost us $225,000, a little bit more sometimes, a little bit less. I am putting in projected cost of $185,000. Why? Because we have spent some monies on the national election in this fiscal, so this would be the remaining components for next fiscal. We have union contracts. Those contracts have salary increases. And next year, meeting October 1st, we'll be looking at union contract increases on the salary and benefit side. This includes benefits, $120,000. We have been discussing an ADA audit. We're in the process of an ADA audit. And this is a guess at what that process will cost us. We have a contract, plus we have any physical changes that we might have to make to the stations and fiscal plant. We are looking at this fiscal on-air revenue shortfalls of $400,000. That revenue shortfall does carry over to next fiscal in terms of monies we will not have on hand. We're looking at some stations want to do research, development, outreach. We've been talking about those projects. I have talked to some detail around what's being proposed by stations and the national office. Price tag, roughly $100,000. Of course, these are rough numbers, and they will change, and we'll see. If there's a bylaw convention, I'm sorry, then there's equipment. We all understand the need for equipment. We've been talking about the need for technological upgrades. The accounting package that we have has crashed. It's old equipment. It's an old software. It's We're on version 6 and the newest one is version 9. We have to upgrade. The package is back up, but it's in decrepit condition, and we're having to move to another way to maintain our accounting system, and that's going to cost us money, about $25,000. We have capital repairs at various stations around the network. Capital and repairs are things that you may not budget for, but you will spend the money anyway. And so there's no sense not budgeting for some capital repair. And if a transmitter goes down, we, of course, have to repair equipment that is essential to our revenue flow. Conservatively, what we're looking at an incremental cost is $1.3 million. Conservatively. Of course, we will be looking to reduce that figure between now and September when we complete the final budgets. Question, what can we do about $1.3 million? I'll skip to the solution set and save it for last, but let's talk about other ideas. Other ideas we've talked about that have revenue implications. The licensing option, will it have revenue implications? We don't know. Digital revenues, we're talking about going digital. Is there a way to do digital upgrade that can produce revenue? We are talking with the WBI people about moving their offices, saving the amount of money that they pay for that space. It's close to $250,000 a year. WBAI, that's a major expense for them. If they were able to move into space less expensive or even buy their own building.
It's supposed to be for non-profit, that building.
Put a sleep.
All right. Okay. At least it's an expense we should look at. It would be very, very important for WBI to reduce that expense. If they were to, and of course there are complications, it's difficult, and of course it costs money to move. But it's still, nonetheless, is something to look at. Community broadcasting and organization affiliates, my pet idea, if it could produce revenue. Increase affiliate revenue. That's an idea we have talked about. I always listen in these discussions to see where new revenue might come from to offset the incremental costs. And if we can increase affiliate revenue, that would certainly be welcome. On reducing costs, I did put it in here. If we could save money on board meetings, I'm putting $35,000. I think it's possible. So I want to work with board people to see if we can save money on these board meetings, and I'm targeting $35,000, it would be welcome. Election costs, if we could save money on election costs, even though we've budgeted the money, we still are looking to reduce the election costs because the election hasn't occurred yet, so we're still looking to do that. Staffing costs, yes. It's the last thing we look at. We never go to staffing first, but staffing costs are an obvious expense, and of course it's a considerable expense here at Pacifica, even as we work with our unpaid staff. So what to do if we look at the October budget process around staffing costs? Now, the hard problems. Our on-air revenues are falling. My fear, my nightmare is that they'll continue to fall, and hopefully we try to avoid a precipitous fall as we look to next year. Now, what we've done in the past is said, if our revenues were at $100 in year one in a falling revenue scenario, maybe it would be wise to budget only 95% of current year revenues for next year and thereby build in some sort of cushion against a revenue shortfall. We might look at salary increases as a way to save money. That is to say, maybe not have the increases that we had thought we could afford. Perhaps we can afford them, perhaps we cannot. So we must look at all of the hard problems. The shrinking audience issue, we all are familiar with that. Whether we're shrinking or not, the point is the revenues are down and we need to grow our audience, prevent further shrinking. The second hard problem is that as I look at some of these budgets, you know, as a finance person, I am loathed, as it goes against everything I've been trained to do, to bring deficit budgets to a board. And I will not do deficit budgets unless they tie me down and make me do it. I won't do it. Why? Because you're mortgaging your future when you do deficit budgeting. But deficit budgeting is a hard problem. And remember, we have a specific problem with budgets. This year, as I looked at mock budgets, that is to say, I did the budget on a mock basis for all the stations. Because I saw these incremental costs as we talked about them. So I put them in a mock budget format to see how much of a deficit each station would have. And that number comes to $200,000 to $300,000 a station. What is aggravating that the deficit budget scenario is that we have a 1 month proviso. So it may be that we can and might have to look at allowing stations to come with a half month rather than a full month, at least on a temporary basis. We shall see what can be done. Because the 1 month doesn't solve, because, you know, doing a half month doesn't solve problems, it just buys time. But deficit budgeting is the struggle that we'll have in the next 30 to 45 days when these budgets are going to get done. Remember, we're talking about draft budgets by the end of this month, the month of June. So it's not next year's problem. It is right with us today. Long-term critical, shrinking audience. What do we do about it? Programming and revenue, which is to say not only to do programming, but how to conceive of programming changes that can increase revenue. I think of all projects in terms of, well, aside from mission projects, we must, in this coming year, learn to think about how not only can we do what we want to do, but conceive projects that bring a return in terms of investment. There will be exceptions, and there will be some projects that we say this project won't be judged in those ways, but we must think how not only to do more, but also to see how revenue can be produced. Internet revenues, we must look at that as a source of revenue. We've talked a little bit about that. Outreach, I think outreach can be seen to be able to pay for itself and sustain. And then there are individual station issues that are long-term and critical. Some stations have inherent structural financial problems. What to do? Because in the end, in 45 days, we'll have to decide what goes into the budget and what does not. I'll skip. These are policies and procedures and strategies that we may need to look at in terms of making some decisions around the budget. But I go down to, you know, we have some strategies we have to create. But here I'll end with these. That as we move forward in this budgeting process and conceiving next year, Pacifica has to plan next year carefully, because we're more vulnerable given all these factors than we have been in previous years when revenues were going up 10, 15, 20% a year. Those days are over as far as anybody in community radio can see, and certainly as far as I can see here at Pacifica. We will not have the resources that we have in the past coming from the revenue sector. That seems to me a fact of life, and I'm trying to adjust early because it's scary. And I'm hoping you'll join me in my minor fright, but not panic. And doing that, I'm suggesting that we start to think as we deal with projects, priorities, and budgets with the following financing principles in mind. That every board motion, and we already have this as a policy, I'm seeking to reaffirm it here, that every board motion should be accompanied by a financial impact statement and the identification of the source of the proposed expenditure. That is to say, that's going to be a financially responsible thing to do and what we need to do. We can get excited about projects, but we must be sober in looking at how shall we pay for it. The second principle is pay as you go. Even as we might approve a new expenditure, we should look to have it be presented with a financial plan in which funds shall not be expended until the identified revenues are received. That's pay as you go. You know, you can put an item in the budget at the beginning of the fiscal and then forget about it. Well, you can't do that. You have to say, here's the project we're going to fund, but the revenues for this project won't come until the 6th month. Then we should establish a principle that when the revenues from the project come through the door, then we can look at expanding the project or introducing the project. We may have to postpone it for 3 or 4 months while people figure out their revenue scenario. So it doesn't all have to start October 1st. The third principle is each new expenditure or project should be accompanied by a plan to become financially self-sustaining in 2 years where feasible and possible. Of course, mission related projects are an exception, and the board in its budgeting process will determine what those exceptions are. But we should start to think in terms of projects being self-sustaining. You know what? It's exactly what's in our mission statement. I noticed it. That our mission statement specifically says just that, that every project should be self-sustaining. I think it is where possible, or does it say deserted?
As nearly as possible.
And, you know, as a finance person, I noticed that language because I share that. We must think and just start to train ourselves to ask the questions of every project that come before us. Is it feasible for it to become self-sustaining in 2 years? And if it is not, then we might want to say, why don't you reconceptualize it, give another try at reconceptualizing it so that we can see that in 3 years it won't be in a position where you're laying off people or the grant didn't come through or you have to close the project down. So you do want to build that in as far as possible. So that is a quick summary through it. Now, my closing comments. Well, we have to learn new tricks. Change does mean change, and change means changing our financial thinking too. Remember, public radio, Pacifica as well, has had 10 or 15 years of increasing revenues. 3 or 4 years ago, our revenues were increasing 15-20%. You can see in my 15-year financial history of Pacifica how that trend has looked. It's still available for those that want to see how we've done over the last 15 years. But I say to you now, it's a rough patch here. It's a rough patch. And we must change our thinking about money. We must change our thinking about how we approach money and expenses in order to preserve what has been the 57-year legacy. We hold in trust Pacifica for all the hard work and the many years that people have put into the network. We would not, and I certainly would not, want to see that jeopardized as we come to this period, this rough period of next 2 or 3 years while we figure out how we can reorganize ourselves to be sustainable. So I thank you for your time. Yes. What can we do about this $1.3 million? You know, I usually come with some suggestion about what can be done. And people say, well, we always come with solutions, so what's the problem here? Why worry about if we got ideas? Well, I'm not so sure about these solutions. They're shaky. But here they are. I think it's possible to raise $650,000 from mail drops. Why? Because we raise $1 million each year or so for the last 2 years. So I think $650,000 is a reasonable figure. It's reduced. Mail drop is mailing to other progressive organizations and individuals, asking them to support Pacifica's mission. And we've gotten good response because what we've learned, and not only at its station level, but also from mailings at the national level, is Pacifica listeners and other progressive organizations want national programming. They want election year programming. They want information. They want entertainment. They will write a check to back that up. And what they've done is they've written those checks. So it's not a guess about what people want. They've written the checks. In the last 2 or 3 years, we've raised several $1 million. I'm saying that in a mail drop to go through in, say, September and maybe later on in the year, we can raise $650,000 and thereby make a dent in that 1.3.
What would be the total mail drop for the year?
It would be around a million pieces going. Pardon me? No, 650 is a net. The million pieces were net
650,000. So what's the total revenue? What's the revenue last year?
Well, gross revenue last year was $850,000.
So you're going down
to this? Yeah, I'm being conservative, right. It's a gas tank year. What we've discovered is that in the last 3 or 4 months, since the gas prices have increased, many folks that support Pacifica with the $20, $25, $30, $40 donations have had to choose between tank of gas, $50, Pacifica, $50. Now that's been a tough choice. So we're not getting some of that, those $50, $20, $30 checks. So I'm saying that if the gas shortage gets, if the gas prices get worse, we have to take that in consideration because our members are impacted by it. Now, national programming on air drive. I think that as we look at national programming, especially in the election year, and we have done this in the past, that we couple those that programming with on-air drives to pay for that national programming. We have done it with national programming in the last couple of years. We have seen that it's possible to raise money. We have to, of course, be careful of not stepping on our affiliates. But I think if we plan for it, if we build it in, and you're on the air with the show for 10 weeks as we're contemplating, yeah, and you're going to do that all year, I think 100,000 is a conservative goal and doable. Well, you say to the listeners, this programming, national programming, is brought to you by Pacifica, and we certainly hope you support it with your donations. That would be helpful. FSRN fundraising. I think that as we go into FSRN fundraising and negotiations, we should say to our compatriots, our comrades, our friends, that fundraising ought to be an integral part of those negotiations, such that the increase in costs which may come to FSRN, we help try and look for offsets such that we could do joint fundraising with FSRN does have affiliates. FSRN has done some fundraising. So as a finance person, I look to see what that potential might be in any negotiations as we try to look to bring those folks, bring us together. So I chose a number out of my hat, $50,000. Board fundraising. Hello. It's got to raise money. I think that the board of directors, and I know some of you think the same way as I do, and some folks say, well, I give all my time on the board, the hell if I'm going to go out there and raise money too. Well, it's not coming out of your pocket. I'm not saying that every board member has to come up with $50,000 or even $20,000, but I am saying that the arms, ears, if every board member thinks about five or ten people that they can get, whatever sum seems reasonable. It's give or get. You know, it's not that you have to give that money. Can't. Very harsh. but that's very common with many boards. That is, if you can identify over the course of a year how you could raise whatever $50,000 divided by 22, it would be helpful. The number could be 10,000. It doesn't have to be 50. It could be any number. But I think that would be useful to look at. It would be a morale booster. And, of course, cash would be good to have. So I, at some station levels, we have actually put board fundraising in the budget. And this year, I may come to the board with an item for the board to raise $50,000 or whatever number the board feels reasonable. So the total would be, you know, $850,000. Then our gap, that is to say, the amount of money we still would be looking for would be that $499,000. Can we raise $499,000? Yeah, but it won't be without some pain. It will not be painless. And what does that mean? It won't be painless. Well, some projects that people are passionate about may not get funded in year one, or it might be funded only 6 months into the fiscal and then overlap into next fiscal. It may be that some projects have to be reconceptualized so that they have some offset revenue so they're more affordable. Some projects may have to be merged with other projects because as a standalone project, they're not economic. So you say if you want to do outreach, you can't do outreach alone. You might have to do it with other people who are trying to do outreach too so that we can have those economies of scale. So, will we raise the $500,000? Will we find it as we go into budgets with the LSBs and the GMs and, be able to tackle the budgets and come out with balanced budgets and not have a $500,000 problem on the other end? I don't know. A lot of folks say, well, you got savings. Why don't your stations use your savings at $500,000 in the system? There's a $500,000. Why not we just take them out? Well, some stations have savings. Some do not. And even the ones that do have savings, and I do know the ones that do have savings, it's not a lot of money. And so you would be real reluctant to write a check from our current cash reserves for $500,000. It would be you would really be real slow to do that. So anyway, as I am want to do, cheer you up. Here you go. That's what we're staring. Is this what we're staring at? And we can do it. But you know, it is much more difficult to do if we're fighting. Because if we reach out to those listeners and they hear us fighting, they go, why would I give you people money? I'm putting it in the guest tag. You know.
Lonnie, can you kill the light? So just one thing. The creating space dialogue was really, space was just a term that also included the idea of resources more generally. The idea was, when you're compelled to do something new, how do you do it when all your resources are already committed? So maybe we're essentially at time for the GM, the CFO report, but since we scotched that thematic discussion, and since the slot tomorrow into which it's been placed is 15 minutes shorter, maybe people want to, even though we're late, do I hear a motion to extend 15
minutes? I will
minutes?
Make a motion to extend 20 minutes.
I heard 15 and 20. Who wants to do what?
15. Let's do 15.
Let's say 15, and then we can spend another 5 extending by 10. Is there any objection to 15?
Okay.
Okay, then off we go. Rosalinda has not had a chance to speak much. Then I saw Sandy. I'll go to LeVarn. I'll get everybody. Rosalinda?
Yes, I wanted to know more about the crash, what happened, how it happened, and how it's implicated all of our stations.
Yeah, the question is about our accounting software crashed. And it crashed and went down for 3 months. It is up now, and we're beginning the process of restructuring and reentering data. What happened there? And what will it cost? Well, the server that the accounting package sat on is in Washington, D.C. It is not in Berkeley. And it's old equipment, old server, and it's also old hard drives. The hard drive failed. Why it failed, we're still a little bit unsure, but it had corrupted a lot of our accounting data. Corrupted meaning that it turned to gibberish. Now, what can do that? A virus could do that. And I think that the hard drive failed because it was old, but it was also likely, although I can't prove it, that that a virus crashed. Yes, it's connected to the net. Yes, it is. Yeah, exactly. 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 Let me get through it. Because I want to talk about where we are with that now so that folks will have some sense of what we're doing.
Was the material backed up?
Well, we had 3 backup systems. One of them was to be a paper backup where each station, we had 3 backup systems. And of course, obviously, all 3 did not work. But 3 backup systems. One where each station allows to print out the input each month and have a paper record that they could use to re-enter the data. Some stations did have a paper record, some did not. And in accounting, you need everybody. You can't just have half or third or one station. Second backup system, aside from the paper one I just mentioned, was a tape backup system, which was in Washington. The tape backup system backed up corrupt data. That did not help. Data is corrupt. Backup is corrupt. Now, the third backup system is the one we're using. And the third backup system is that each month we take all the data that's in that accounting package and we put it on Excel. And that is, put it on Excel. We put it right on Excel just in case the server goes down. And that's what we've been using to publish the financials at Pacifica. The third backup system works. And as much as, we just put it on Excel. What you got in your package is an Excel-based duplicate of our accounting system. And we did that every month. And so we have good data. So third backup system saved us. What are we doing? Now, what do we need to do to prevent? Now, will we get our data back? Yes, we will, because we have that data in terms of what the numbers are were. We know what the salaries are. We know each month what the revenue has been. So it's not going to be a question of whether the data is accurate. That's not the issue. The issue is the work that it takes to re-enter that data. What are we going to do that's different?
Excuse me, is it all right if he does that and then the board could ask him the questions? And
what are we doing? Well, what we're going to do is we got to take the financial system out of five different stations and centralize it. And we're bringing it to a web-hosted site. We're moving to do that next week. And we're going to have to upgrade the software. The software is ancient.
Actually, if any board members feel like asking a question, I think you're going to have to shout out to get it in there. Yeah. So just feel free.
So those are the two things. And we're starting that process to take our accounting software away from servers that sit at stations. We can't have it sit at a station. But somebody can walk past a server in any station, it might be, and kick it by mistake. And you never know what happened. Server just broke down, you don't know what happened. Or someone can come by and just download material off the internet using our server and pull a virus down with it, and the data goes corrupt. So the idea is to take the financial system, which we all depend upon, and have it be a hosted site, which is to say, not at a station, but on a web-based hosted server, so that we have some security in our data. And that's we're in the process of doing that as I speak. And we've contracted a web host, Pier One, which has been recommended to us, and they're prepared to upload that data.
LaVon, I think you were next? Or you were? I'll go to you after her.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to thank Lonnie for the report, and also in terms of some of the activities and things that Lonnie has implemented. Some of the things that we've discussed over the last couple of years on the Finance Committee, and I just hope that he continues that three-day close. But you talked about salaries and perhaps increasing salaries, but have we looked at really, like, increasing productivity also? I know some stations perhaps have a volunteer coordinator. If we had a volunteer coordinator to get volunteers in, perhaps that will help a lot in terms of the staff also in addressing some of the issues that will perhaps increase their productivity. And then so that would really help a lot. The other is just would like to compliment the ED on his support of the planning process and how, as I'd spoken sometime early this morning, I think it was today, that he gave out a list of national priorities for the budget, and absolutely this is the first time we've received something like that to know what direction the foundation is going, and allowing the directors and the listeners to have this information, and also the fact that the ED has continued the fundraising activities that Lonnie and the prior ED had started, although we have some issues with in terms of contacting listeners that are part of the station listener base. But, you know, just would like to compliment the ED on this. This is really refreshing. And the other is in terms of that I know with KPFA, I think we're in the process of bringing in someone to do an organizational assessment. And perhaps something like that would really help also throughout the network. It will ultimately cost funds to have it done, but it will also identify deficiencies and be able to implement efficiencies to, again, produce productivity for the staff and also to identify areas that need to be addressed. And the other is the major donor income. I'm calling it major donor income. that has been received, and perhaps the efforts that were done to make those things happen, perhaps we should really talk about those throughout the stations to, in order to perhaps duplicate that. And I know this all goes back to programming, but at least some of the efforts that were done to make those things happen, perhaps we should try to implement that throughout the network. And again, thank you for the report, and I think that overall we've made a lot of progress in terms of trying to put an infrastructure and process to help achieve our objectives and the mission. Thank you.
Sandy? Thank you. Thank you, Lonnie, for a good, concise report. I'd like your comments on three items, and you can be as brief or as long as you want. One is satellite subscription service revenue for the network, underwriting on our terms as a replacement for some of the other fundraising traditionally that we've done. And finally, firmer guidelines on expenses as a function of a two-year average of revenue.
Let's look at satellite revenue first. The idea here is that if Pacifica were successful in getting a channel on XM radio or on Sirius radio, we're told that we can raise funds on XM and on Sirius. That gives you an international audience. Satellite radio is, of course, has some issues right now in terms of cash flow, but it will grow, especially as it moves into automobiles, which it is going to do. We do have Ambrose Lane has a show on XM Radio, and we think that more shows, if we can at Pacifica show the ability to produce the content, that is a way for us to move Pacifica to other platforms, and that's something I think is absolutely essential to do. The issue of I've got firmer guidelines, but what was that second one? I can't read my own handwriting.
About underwriting, I think.
Underwriting. The U word. Some of our stations, as they have experienced the increasing difficulty in dealing with raising revenue, at least one of our general managers, and I'm listening carefully, saying, is it feasible as we reach these dollar crunch situations to look at underwriting from socially conscious organizations that we share affinity with, share mission goals with? Now, does that mean we're endorsing underwriting? But it does mean we need to look at it and see if it's feasible, doable, fits with Pacifica's mission, is something that we would want to do. And if we were to do it, would it raise revenue in amounts that could make a difference as we were to look at any problems that might develop next year? So I guess I'm going on record as not ruling it out. If I come back with a budget that says $50,000 in underwriting, then the eggs can start and the tomatoes can start. But I'm not ruling it out at this point. I'm ruling out no revenue at this point that's legal. Just to see if what could be done with it, need to know more about it. Same thing with licensing, those other issues. Although there's some hurdles there, I think. Firmer guidelines on expenditures. Yes, there will need be firmer guidelines on expenditures. We can't spend at levels we've had in the past. We just can't do it. I know it's easy to say as we sit here in this hotel, but I promise you, we won't be back here next year. We'll not be back here. We have other things we've looked at. Yeah, we're going to have to find ways to go back to the old sleeping bag days, although we may not go back that far, but we will have to find ways to save money. We do, without a doubt, need to do that. Okay.
Sorry, I have Sandy. Okay, did that Rip, Mary Zarina, Bob, Rob? Oh, Lydia. Rip. Oh, you had your hand up too, Bob?
Lonnie? I got a question about three line items that are in the budget. One is $303,000 in bank charges. One is $125,000 in non-technical maintenance fees. and $548,000 in legal expenses. I wonder if you could address those three.
Well, let's take them one at a time. Bank charges are the charges that that banks charge us for processing the credit cards, gifts from our drives. That is to say, when we go into drive, the credit people make the payment pledges. So that you see that coming through, yes. It's, if you look at previous years, it's going down. Yeah, it's going down. And the reason, remember, we made a point of trying to reduce that expense, and we're happy to say that the stations have cooperated. We got some software updated that we've been using in the MIMSA system that was actually charging us more than what the bank fees actually were. So we did tackle that problem. We are reducing it. Legal, $525,000. Well, my favorite topic, legal. What do I say about that? Well, we've had legal settlements this year at several stations. We've had increasing legal costs at stations. When we have fights, I just want to say this because it's ruining my sleep sometimes. Look, first, when we have fights at any station and a mediator comes in, an attorney comes in, who's paying for that? We are. It's not free. It is not free. So it is not just, oh boy, we're in the playpen and we're fighting. Oh boy, we're in the playpen and dollar bills are throwing out the window. It costs money. How much? You know what WBI's legal costs are? People ask me what that is. $50,000 and growing. Every time a grievance goes up, a mediation goes in, a legal battle occurs, it costs money. Now, who is paying?
Who?
Yeah, why is it happening?
Don't ask the audience questions.
You know, I hear FCC filings and some of the things that happen. That's true. All right, but that's that's real money too. That is, and unfortunately.
But Lonnie, would you think it would go down since we had some settlements?
Well, I had hoped. I had hoped, but it didn't happen. As a matter of fact, we've had three good years, not three good years, we've retired all that legal debt. But I tell you that talking with our insurance broker, you know, he's disappointed that we have three new legal cases this year. And struggle. The good news about it is that we managed to get some board members off the exclusion list, and I will talk a little bit about that. Yes. I'm sorry. See, anyway. Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, and I'll talk about that in an executive session, but every time we have new legal settlements or legal threats, it's a struggle getting insured.
We've got a big list of people, so we got to go fast through it. All right. Mary Zarina, Bob, Rob, Lydia Ray.
Possible ideas for raising revenue, there were four. And of those four, I'm having a couple of questions about two of them. National fundraising. You had $100,000, but of course, that every time we get on the air and fundraise, that may and has historically reduced what the stations get. And as to FSRN fundraising, they're already fundraising for the stations during every drive. So again, those two might reduce revenue. I also had a thought about outreach. There are a lot of people, I don't know how true this is in other signal areas, but in our area there are people within a 5-mile and certainly within a 10-mile radius who have never heard of the station. And they find it sometimes when they're sick or whatever, something goes wrong and they're flipping across the dial. But they have never heard of us. And if we, I would like really to have some group where we could work up something for an expenditure of X amount for very small things. For example, another thing in our area is that we have a high school a block away. We have a station that it's owned by Clear Channel or whatever, Wild, that goes over there every noon and it distributes out tchotchkes and all kinds of things. We could do the same. We could make CDs of our best. It could be very, very cheap, the stuff we put out, and they would know about us, because those kids a block away come in to work off parking tickets and we find they never heard of us either. So I would really like to I think there's a vast area where we could increase subscribers without even before, you know, right away, as soon as people hear of us.
Especially young people.
Especially young people. It was very shocking in the phone room to hear them say that they didn't even know where we were. We were a block away. They had to find out directions in the court so they could work off their tickets. Okay. I would very much like to be part of a group that would really concentrate in a big way on outreach, and I would hope some other people might join on and off this board in all the signal areas, because I think it's probably true to varying degrees that we just don't have the recognition we could have.
Thanks.
And it wouldn't cost much.
Okay, I just want to say that I too felt that was a good report, and I'm not a finance person, but I sure know how to budget on a dime. And I think that might be something that we could all learn to do within the network at our stations and on and on. I just want to say to the people in the audience that have come and spent their time and their dime to be here that it does sound rather disappointing that we've lost revenue with some of our pledge drives and that the computer crashed. We've lost vital information. But the other side of this is with, as has been mentioned on more than one occasion by several people here, the infighting, the personality and ego agendas are not going to help us. And if we are going to get up out of this malaise of, and this abyss of financial, desperation, and which we are really not, I mean, considering that we are a network that does not have the kind of money that Fox, ABC, CNN, and all the rest have and raise through whatever means, negative or positive, we just need to understand that we are doing really well. You need to count your blessings. You really need to know what that means when you are in a situation like Pacifica. There's nothing like this. And the fact that young people don't know about the network, the fact that people my age don't know about the network at times, and on, that's on us. That's on us. We should be doing the best PR. Our PR is fighting. Now, if we want to be able to make some money off of that, maybe we need to get in the ring and make some of the kind of money that some of these fighters are making. You know, because some of you sound really good, and you could probably get some agent or something. So my last point is that we did discuss about a year ago the possibility of doing a National Pacifica membership card, and I really think that's something we need to look at. We need to get on with the business of trying to do that, because when you go to hotels, rent cars, go to restaurants, and on, that's what those membership cards are good for. And the fact that we have spent the kind of money that we do at some of these hotels, it is unfortunate. But we need to get our members, all of you out there, spend $100 or more to get a membership card. And that you can show to people and say, I've invested in this network, as all of you have done already. So I just say, let's get back to some serious business. Yes, it's hard when people are doing certain things that you don't like. But you know what? You didn't divorce your mother or your father, most of you. And probably you didn't divorce your kids. But the reality is that you have sibling rivalry. We're a family. So if you need to duke it out, take it outside, and then finish, and let's get back to work.
We're actually 5 minutes over. We have Bob, Rob, Lydia, and Ray on the stack. Well, do people want to clear out the stack to finish it out?
Yeah.
Do we need to move to extend the time again?
If there's no objection, we'll continue with the stack.
Okay, some rapid-fire ideas. Two ideas mentioned I have some real concerns about. One is the idea of underwriting, even by nonprofits, that may seem simpatico with us. I think it raises serious content control issues that should give us pause. The second is the idea of an efficiency expert, which have in large part been associated with anti-worker type of measures that end up leading to speed-ups of workers' commitments or responsibilities. So that we should be very cautious about that. Some ideas that maybe we could look into is, as far as I know, we no longer have a national development director. Is that true?
We do. We don't. We have one who is part-time doing it for us, and I'm doing a lot of it, too.
Right. So he said we have a part-time person, and he's doing it. I think we should look into, for next year's budget, making that a full-time position in the national office and having a particular focus, which I think is very fundable, on programming particularly serving and by communities of color and with a Spanish language-speaking community, which I think would be very productive. The cost of these meetings, have we ever seriously looked at colleges as places that we can both sleep at and hold meetings at a, I'm sure, a far lower cost than these expensive hotels? And then e-commerce has been talked about, but I don't know if we've really tried to coordinate the efforts of the five stations, maybe have some kind of common websites and common bulk buying arrangements for premiums and other items that we might sell. And the final item, which has been mentioned and has a lot of complications, but maybe we should think about a Pacifica record label by which we could get progressive musicians to make arrangements with us that would be a win-win situation and could perhaps bring in a lot of revenue.
Rob.
Good idea.
I said Rob.
Oh. Lonnie, I'm just, in terms of some of the things that we can do to work our way out of this, it might be useful if you took the lead on working with some people in management and the board to identify where there are some areas that relate to our mission, where we've got capacity. Bob just mentioned a wonderful one. I'm not sure that a record label wouldn't generate some revenue for us. But I think what we need to look at are areas where we control most of the things are within our control. We're not building something where we have no capacity. But some of the things, and I think we can get some of our volunteers that have got special abilities to help advise us on whether or not these things are feasible and how to get them started. Not all of these ideas may make money immediately, but it may generate enough capacity in year two or year three to create new revenue streams for us. So some of the things, obviously grants. There are grants that we can get for training, for program development, from organizations that, you know, that are not inimical, where we're not losing editorial control. Eva has already begun doing that. You've done some of that in the central office. Event fundraising. It's not clear to me that some of the movie stars and musicians that are sympathetic to the left would not participate in events in Los Angeles or in New York that would generate significant money for us. There's some merchandising that we ought to be able to do. We do a little bit on our stations, but I think we could do more. I think some of the stuff that I've seen, some of the photographs we have of Pacificans of the past could very well lend itself to clothing and stuff like that. And I realize that merchandising is despicable and so on and so forth. But again, that may be a way of reaching out to young people and also reinforcing our message, and our mission. Major donor campaigns. I'm sure that we have people in our signal area that would work on major donor campaigns, but we don't have any campaigns in place. On the other hand, we do know who our donors are, and we know a little bit about their history. I think we could look at the people that have stopped contributing to all of our stations over the last couple of years and try to find out if we can't get them back and get more money from them. Again, that's something that we can control. Maybe it won't work, but I think it's worth a try. We should have some sense with our programming and all of our signal areas. We should have a sense of where we have the capacity to reach more listeners or to get listeners to give more money for a specific project, for a specific program, for something associated with the station. And I think what we need to begin doing is taking a look at the trends and some of the research that's available and decide where are areas where we can grow our programming, grow our audience, get more money if we're doing it for a specific thing. I'm not sure if we talked about increasing the technology that we can't do a day of national fundraising that could generate some money for something that was very concrete. And the other thing that we've talked about before are membership campaigns with organizations on the left. We've talked about it for labor and other membership organizations. These are things that we should consider. I think we have experts and supporters among our ranks that could help us determine which are the most feasible and which are the most doable. But I think we should be looking at stuff like that where we can generate revenues that are either going to be stronger in the future or areas where we really haven't developed capacity, but that might have some options. And Bob's idea of a record label is an excellent one. And we ought to, but we ought to be thinking about how do we assess these things for their potential and decide if we can't do something.
Thanks. Lydia.
Two things. One, I share the same concern as Bob about the underwriting, but what I would like to, I assume you've discussed this, I hope Greg is here, because I would like to hear both of you respond to how you define underwriting, because it can be something innocuous, it could be something else. So just be really specific. Are you talking about underwriting of a particular show, of the station? What are you doing? In terms of fundraising, I only had this happen when I was very impressed in Houston when I was on the IPMB, which was they had an event at a major donor's home. And yeah. One of the things that we do is we tend to neglect our major donors once we've taken their money. And the thing is that they are really interested, if they're really invested, if they're giving us, if they are major donors and they care about Pacifica, and they would really be impressed, once we're given a little time to clean up, is to they would really be impressed to hear from the different signal areas and to meet us. And if we regard that as a special event, like one night have a dinner at someone's home or something with the national board there, and treat us as if it's something special.
You lost your mind.
It'll be a fist fight.
Point of information, I believe Lydia's mic just went off, and therefore...
Ray.
I'm through. I'm through. Ray. Oh, now I'm back, but I'm through.
Actually, what I was going to mention is something that's not directly connected to finance, but to sustainable revenues, to growing our stations. Although KPFK seems to challenge that view, they seem to reinvent themselves every year and find enough money. So I think also what we should organize is, I suspect, for example, at WBAI, unwittingly, some of our competition is Democracy Now. They have achieved a level of prestige that once Amy goes around and she speaks to Ari Belafonte, Susan Sarandon, and those people, they feel they've done things for Pacifica world, and they finished. And so maybe we should enlist Amy's help and use people like these individuals who are closely connected to us and do it in each area. I'm thinking about Ari Belafonte and Susan Sarandon, who live in the New York area, and help us have a celebrity get together where they would meet with the board. And anyway, have something important in this very critical moment that they all understand, and help us. I don't think it's been tried yet, by the way.
I would like to weigh in as long as we're in a brainstorming session, it seems. I think you can't calculate the value of underwriting without calculating the loss of revenue that you lose when people, when you can't tell people we don't accept underwriting. So you have to calculate that. I think we can do things that are focused on the mission, and if they're delineated well, we can go out and raise funds around them. It's a lot easier when you know that what you go and tell a donor you're going to do, you can really go do, and you show it concretely, that because that actually improves your reputation with the donor base. But if you go to somebody and say, we're going to do something, and either you don't have a clear plan, or it's too narrow in its focus, it's not adequately visionary, or you get the money and you don't do it, in any of those cases, the donations are small. Bob mentioned the record label, a discussion that Eva
an idea of Eva's and something we've discussed at times is the idea of getting artists to come in and do what they did during the Katrina Fund Drive, which is to record tracks that they donate to Pacifica. And but one of the things that's happening in the podcasting world is people are restricted by the absence of music. So we could open up our studios to record and say that we're going to make this all of this available freely to people in civic media to use in their podcasts. And the idea of the Lessig licensing thing is then if somebody makes revenue off of that stuff, and a revenue sharing arrangement is automatic, but it's free for civic purposes. And so you can go and fundraise. Not only will artists donate to such an effort, but you can fundraise around it because you're serving the whole civic media community. So if we try and think about how to cobble our mission together with plans to raise revenue and think of it in terms of big projects, I think, you know, I would be happy to, people have talked about high donor events. There's a facility that we offered where I actually got married. The people have said, we'll make this site available for a Pacifica fundraiser. All we have to do is, you know, tell people what it's for. And I think one of the areas we've been weak is in coming together enough to design a coherent enough plan. Right now, the plan for national programming is the most concrete plan I've seen, but we do have other people. There are other staff people I've been talking to who have plans, and we have to work those into things that we go fundraise around. And I think that, you know, we have a finance committee, but we don't have a development committee. So that's my own comment. The next thing on our brief agenda is, thank you, Lonnie. Thank you very much.
Molto bene.